Let's go back to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, we'll finish up the chapter. Series I'm going to preach on, and it's only four chapters, so don't get scared you're going to be in the book of Jonah for a year, okay? I'm going to get you in and out, but there's several good lessons in the book of Jonah. Amen? There's a lot to learn and to glean from Jonah. And the very first lesson we should learn right off the bat, really there's two. The first one, the whole theme of the book of Jonah is this, that God is sovereign and He desires to see men saved. No matter how bad they are, no matter where they're from, He desires to see them saved. And then the second lesson that we should glean from the book of Jonah is, don't run from Him. When He calls you to do something, do it. Amen? We have such false teaching today. There's a teaching going around today that pretty much says, God just loves you so much, He just wants you to be happy all the time. Hooey fooey. Listen to me this morning. God wants two things from you and I. After we come to the saving knowledge of His Son, and we are saved and we are in the kingdom, our name's in the book of life, He demands two things. And it is holiness and obedience. If He calls you and tells you to do something, He don't expect any lip from you. He doesn't expect you to bow up and do what you want to do. You obey Him or you're going to pay the consequences. Any of y'all raised in a strict home? Amen. I'm going to tell you, if Dad said do something, you had better do it. Because as far as that goes, if Mom said do something, you better do it. Because what she would do is say, oh, well, just wait till your dad gets home. Oh, that always straightened me up. Because he'd come down that hall. I could still, to this day, I can hear those steps coming down the hallway. And he wouldn't even ask, what did you do? It'd just be, obey your mother. Same way with God. Listen, there's consequences always when we rebel and disobey God. Why can't we get that, child of God? And Jonah is a great lesson to learn, Brother Ciro. Believe me, he didn't want no part of going to Nineveh. He didn't like them people. They were cruel. They were mean. They were some of the fiercest barbaric people on the face of the earth at that time. And he didn't want to see them saved. But there was a sovereign God that did. And he had asked Jonah to go to Nineveh. What did Jonah do? Got on a boat going the opposite way. In fact, as far away as you could possibly go in that known world. And he fled from the presence of the Lord. How many of you this morning are fleeing from the presence of the Lord? You know God's called you. You know God's got a plan for you. You know what God expects out of you. And yet you're fleeing from the plan of the Lord. Let me save you some heartache and some headache and a butt whooping. Do what He says to do. And you'll be glad. Because listen to me. As I said last week, it bears mentioning one more time. If you think you're going to get in a boxing match with the Lord, He's going to whip you and thump you good. Amen. You're not ever going to win a boxing match with the Lord. So, with that said, let's look at verse 11. I want us to look at this morning at the mercy of the sea. That's what I would entitle this. And we'll begin with verse 11. Then said they unto him, we're talking about those on the boat. That boat headed to Tarshish instead of Nineveh. What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth to the sea. And so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Verse 17, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish." How many days? Three. How many nights? Three. Jesus made reference to this about his resurrection. Is that by accident? No, not at all. Father, we love you and we praise you. Thank you for those that have come this morning to worship you. Thank you for each home represented. And Lord, I just thank you for this privilege, honor of allowing me to be able to share your precious word. Father, I pray that as we break the bread of life, you'll bless your word. Your word will speak to hearts. And Lord, we pray that hearts will be changed, lives changed. We pray, Lord, that your word would reach its intended purposes and that, Lord, those that need to come, when the invitation is given, they would come. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will have his way in this service. Use me, Lord, as a mouthpiece. Let me preach with boldness and authority those things you've laid upon my heart to say this morning. And may everything said and done, in this worship service bring honor and glory to you. Again, forgive me of my sins, my shortcomings. Remove anything that would hinder me from being able to be a vessel used of you to share your word. Thank you again for what you did on the cross for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I want you to understand, they're on a boat headed to Tarshish, and the Lord caused a great raging storm to take place on the sea. And those sailors, or mariners, if you will, on that boat knew that it was pretty much frugal for them to try to keep the boat afloat. In fact, they knew that if they didn't unload some cargo and do some things, that it was going to sink. And they were sorely afraid. So now, they come to Jonah, and, you know, they kind of ask him, "What is it we can do to keep this thing still afloat and keep from sinking?" And notice, if you will, even though Jonah had, they had their suspicions, they were nice to him. Now, you and I, let's be honest, had we felt like we were in peril, you and I would have probably rushed to judgment. We'd have probably become all emotional. Amen. We'd have probably grabbed him and threw him overboard quickly. But they didn't act that way. And there's a great lesson to learn from this. Listen, it never pays to rush to judgment. It never pays to be all emotional when there is a crisis in your life. Listen, there is always an answer to any crisis, and that answer is Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is sovereign, he is in control, and you can trust him. Notice what he says. He says, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." Hey, what do we need to do? Because this to stop. But they weren't all emotional. They pretty much treated him pretty good, if you really want the truth. Had we known we were on the boat, "Jonah, you're the cause of this, there you go." And it wouldn't be because Jonah had to tell us to toss him. We'd have just tossed him because it's your fault. Aren't we good at blaming people? Sure we are. We like to judge and we like to blame people. especially if they don't live up to our standards. You know, we got standards. You better live up to that. Well, let me tell you something about the Lord. He has standards also, but the sad thing is we never live up to those standards. We never. We say, well, it's just too tough. It's just too hard. God knows me. He made me. And then we go ahead and go into our sin, continue to do it. We try to make excuses. But beloved, listen to me. Remember this. God is all-seeing and all-knowing. And He does know us best. Listen. Stop being judgmental. And don't allow emotion to carry the day. Now, notice what Jonah says in verse 12. And I want you to see something. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, and so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Now, what Jonah does is he says, okay, I'm your problem. It's me. Cast me overboard. The reason this old storm is even upon y'all is because I've brought this problem to you, because I decided to flee from God. And the only reason you're going through this is because I was disobedient to God. I am your problem. Now, a lot of us would point a finger at Jonah, would say, well, the silly rascal, all he had to do was do what God told him to do. He'd have been fine. He shouldn't have put those poor sailors to all that trouble. He should have just did what God told him to do. But listen to me. Let me ask you a question. I find in the 12th verse here a man willing to admit he was a problem. Willing to admit he had sinned against God. How many of us, when we sin against the Lord, are willing to admit it? You see, a lot of times we'd much rather not admit it. Right, Brother Ciro? Oh, no, no, no. We try to hide our sin, forgetting that, again, God sees everything. You can't hide it from Him. I can hide my sin from y'all. You can hide your sin from me, but we'll never hide our sin from God. Jonah could have said, I don't know why this is happening. He could have tried to cover it up, but no. He said, I'm your reason. I have rebelled against God. Therefore, that's why this is happening to you. You see, he was willing to confess his sin. And I want to tell you, it ain't easy sometimes admitting we've messed up and confessing our sin before the Lord. I'm going to tell you, we don't like it, do we? In fact, we'd much rather try to cover it up. We'd much rather other people deal with the ramifications from our sin than to just go to God and cry out, Lord, I messed up! I've sinned against you! Can you forgive me and restore me? Of course, what does the Word say? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us for some. It's all unrighteousness, right, Sister Gladys? It's not some, all of it. But we got to fess up. Admit we've sinned. And by the way, when you sin, yeah, your sin affects other people, but when you sin against God. That's who you better get right with. And I'll go ahead and throw this in, won't charge you. If you get right with God, you'll get right with those you've sinned against. It'll bring you to that. So, he tells them, me, I'm it, I did it. Instead of going to Nineveh, like God told me, I decided I would go the other way. thinking I could outrun God. Let me just say something. When God seeks you and I out because He has a plan for us, He will always know where we are, and He'll always grab us and put us back on track to where we're supposed to be. And I'll be the first to tell you, I don't always like that, because sometimes it's uncomfortable. Amen? What if He told me, and I've often thought of this, and I would like the opportunity. Don't get me wrong. I would like the opportunity, but I don't know once if He ever did open that door that I would be any good. But I've often said, give me 30 minutes, Lord, and You open the door, I'll go to that temple on that mountain they call Sunrise, and I'll let them hear the truth for once. Just open that door for me. Now I say that before you. You are my witnesses. I say that before God. God could take me up on that, and then guess what? What if I decided I'd do a Jonah? No, I've changed my mind. They're Mormon. I might be chunked out of a Ford truck. Amen. What I'm trying to get across is Jonah wasn't perfect. And if you'll read the book of Jonah, you know, next week he prays one of the most beautiful prayers of repentance. Lord, I messed up. I'm going to fess up. I'm going to make things right. And by the way, not to get into next week's message, but he went to Nineveh. And he did what God told him to do. He preached. They truly had revival. But listen to me. He still wasn't perfect. You see, when it comes to his character, he did not like the Ninevites. It wouldn't have bothered him if they had went to hell. He didn't care. They're barbaric. And not only that, there's several times in the whole book that he's still arguing with God. He wasn't happy. He just did what he thought God wanted him to do. Well, again, what's the theme of the book of Jonah? God is sovereign, and He wants to get the gospel out to everyone. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So, now we find Jonah saying, I'm him. It's me. It's my fault. I want you to look at the next verse, and this brought tears to my eyes as I was studying. Because I've read it, studied it, but I never saw what the Lord showed me here in the 13th verse. Notice it says, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. You see, even after, Jonah said, fellas, I'm the reason. The reason you're in the shape you're in, this old boat is about to go under, is because of me. Notice those men, those sailors or mariners, if you will, still had compassion for Jonah. You see, they didn't want him to be thrown overboard, because they knew within themselves, had they tossed him overboard, he would end up drowning. See, they didn't know the plan that God had. But this was God's plan all along. Jonah, you're going to Nineveh. I don't care why you say you're going to Nineveh, because I've said it. So, here they are, rowing that much harder, trying to keep the boat afloat, because they truly had compassion on Jonah. And listen, they didn't owe Jonah nothing. They didn't know him from Adam. But they had compassion for this man. I will ask you this morning, do we have the same compassion for those that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior? You see, there's people that are outside the boat of salvation, and they're headed for the judgment of God. And that judgment, once passed on those that are without Christ, means an eternity in hell. And yet, we got neighbors that we wave at, we speak to, live right next door to us, and we never even share our faith. Where's our compassion? You see, here's a man that they didn't owe anything to. In fact, they didn't even know God. They were pagans. But at least they had compassion on this man. They didn't want to throw him overboard. And they were out doing everything in their power to keep from having to do that. Are we doing everything in our power through the Spirit of God to share the gospel with our neighbor and our co-workers and our friends and our families? Think about that. They rowed the much harder, trying to get to land, but they couldn't. But yet, they had compassion. And let me throw this in too. There's a lesson God was trying to teach Jonah. You see, he was using these old pagans, these old sailors, to show Jonah, hey Jonah, that's the kind of heart you're supposed to have. Jonah was, oh, I can't stand them Ninevites. They're barbaric. They're our enemies. Why do we want to take Jesus to them? Why do we want to see them saved? They hate us. Let me ask you a question. What's in your heart? Who do you hate? You say, you can't say that. I just did. Who do you hate? You say, oh, I'm not a racist. Well, I hope you're not. Can I tell you something about race? Now, I'm from the South. I'm from the Bible Belt. That's right, sister. We're from the same neck. Well, there's several of us from that same neck of the woods. Come from the same state. There was always a line when I was growing up. But listen to me. Understand something. When I cut my finger, guess what color my blood is? It's red. You cut yours, guess what color? Sister Fawn, you bleed red? So what does that mean? We're the same. We're the same. We're all created in the image of God. Amen? He made us. And I know some of you Baptists are going to get mad at this old chubby pastor. But you better get along with them while you're here, because you're going to serve eternity with them there. Do you think there's going to be sections? Blacks, whites, Mexicans? Of course not! We're all going to be in glorified bodies. We're all going to be like Jesus. Come on. And let me say this, and then I'm going to jump off of it, because one, I could talk about this a while. We got important things to do. The devil would like nothing better than to divide our country through race. He's been trying for over 200 years. Don't fall for his tricks. Amen? I want to tell you, I never agreed with President Obama on pretty much anything. He's just a little different. One thing I do agree with him: there is only one type of an American, and that's all that belong to this country. We're all American. Now let's move on. And if you got issues, I will talk to you. That's right, sister. We got a little, listen, I got all kinds of Heinz 57 in me. Amen. My dog is a Heinz 57 dog, and I'm a Heinz 57 human. Amen. I got all kinds of stuff in me. I'm scared to go on that website where you can find out what you are, because I'm afraid I will find out what I am. Amen? Sorry, Mom. Dad? Now, Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. You see, these men did everything in their power to try to get to land. But you see, God caused the storm. And I want you to understand, if you are out of the will of God, He will cause a storm in your life until you get things right. You might as well figure on it. How many of us have went through storms? And I know they'll tell you today, oh, God just wants you to be happy. He wants you to have everything. He doesn't want no problems in your life. Those liars, don't listen to them. Listen, even the most faithful, even the most dedicated, even the most committed go through times of trial in their life. You know why? Because it makes us trust God. It draws us to the Lord. And He does it for our benefit. Not because He hates us. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech Thee, O Lord, we beseech Thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for Thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased Thee. Couple things. Real quick. They'd done everything they could to no avail. They had no choice but to toss him overboard. But notice, it doesn't say nowhere in this book that they ever knew the Lord. They knew about the Lord. They knew about His sovereignty. And what did they do? They prayed and said, please, and I'm paraphrasing, Lord, don't let His blood be upon us. Don't let His blood be upon us. And notice the last part of verse 14. O Lord, it says, for Thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased Thee. Do you recognize their recognition of God's sovereignty? Even though old Jonah was rebellious, was a child of God, a prophet of God, they knew more about His sovereignty than Jonah did. They recognized God's sovereign. And what I mean by that, when we say sovereign, I know it's a theological word. Preachers love to throw those theological words out there to impress you. It's a 2-cent word. Amen? It's not a $5 word. It's a 2-cent word. Sovereign. You know what it means? It means God is in control of everything. Every circumstance. God knows everything that's going on. He's sovereign. And even these old sailors know about His sovereignty. I'll ask you this morning, how about you? Do you understand God's sovereign? Do you understand He has a plan and a purpose and a desire for you and I? You say, well, I've been trying to figure out that for the longest time, Pastor. I don't know what His will is. Why don't you? First of all, if you ain't saved, that's His plan and His will for you. Get saved. And then secondly, serve Him. Live for Him. That's the will of God for all of His children. And when He says do something, you do it. This is where Jonah messed up. He thought his will, he could do what he wanted to. He thought his will was greater than God's. Again, my arms are too short to box with God. How about you? No. They said, Lord, please, we know it's Your will that this has come to pass, but don't allow us to have to pay for this innocent blood. And that was their prayer. And then look at the next verse. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. As soon as they tossed him over, and he splashed into the sea. Boom, complete calm. Done. I have to let you know, because God is sovereign, He causes the storms in our lives. He also allows those storms to cease. You see, we should learn that lesson, beloved. Just as soon as Jonah got on the boat to go to Tarshish, God already had a plan. And guess what that plan was? Send a storm. Can I ask you this morning, does He have to send a storm in your path this morning? Get you to do what God wants you to do? And don't sit there and tell me, oh, I just don't know. You know. You know. The Holy Spirit is going to speak to your heart. It's the Holy Spirit that God uses to get us to do His will. We can either grieve it. Boy, there's a lot of that in the Baptist church. Amen. We can be obedient to it and obey it. When I say it, Spirit is a Him. It's the third person of the Trinity. But my point is, does He have to send a storm into your life? Don't think. If he did it to Jonah, don't think you're too good that He won't do it to you, child of God. Because He will. I've had a few storms in my life. But praise God, I learned the secret. It's called repentance and obedience. And it's amazing when you get right with God, that storm ceases to be a storm. It becomes calm and smooth sailing. But again, what's God calling you to do this morning? It stopped. And then, according to the very next verse, "And the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows." Now, I've heard some preachers say this. I've read some books. Say, well, there you go. There's proof they got saved. It only tells me that they made a sacrifice and they prayed to the Lord and they made vows. What they did was they recognized God. When's the last time you and I have recognized who God is? You see, we need to always remember who God is. You see, He is the Savior. He is the Lord. And He is King of Kings. And you and I need to be mindful of that. Not just when we assemble here on Sundays in the Lord's house, but every single day of our lives, we need to recognize who He is. Sailors recognize, hey, that's a sovereign God. Now, they didn't understand the plan that God had for Jonah. They didn't understand he was supposed to go to Nineveh. But they did have enough understanding that this is a mighty God. Well, He's the only God. And it's amazing at what God will do to get our attention. Especially when it comes to salvation. Listen, He'll put people in your path. Joseph talked to a man that was over at his house this week. Joseph didn't know him from Adam, but at least he started talking to him about the Lord. The man realized, having issues in his life. And he needs to know who God is. Thankful Joseph was able to share that. I pray that he'll come to church next Sunday so we can continue to share who God is. But my point is this, and I'll hush, is that they sacrificed. When you see that word sacrifice, that means they worship God the best they know how or knew how. And they made vows. Now again, can I tell you of their spiritual, can I tell you they all got right then and got saved? No, I can't tell you that. but they recognized who he was. We can go out them doors and we can just about stop anybody here in this city. If you ask them who Jesus is, the majority of them know who he is. They may not know him personally, they know who he is. You think that's by accident? No. These 2,000 years since he came into the world and died on the cross to be a substitute for you and I, that we might be saved and reconciled to God, those 2,000 years, guess what? His name is still called Jesus. And people still know who he is. Amen. I hope you know. Now, the very last verse of chapter 1 says that God did something. What did he do? He prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Some would tell you, oh, that's just a fable. That's impossible. Really? Really? If he can die and on the third day come out of a tomb, resurrected, fish big enough to swallow a man, no biggie. If he can feed 5,000 with two loaves, or two fish and five loaves, excuse me, and they could take up 12 baskets full of leftovers, no biggie. You see, he prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. You say, well, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say this in close. Know who you're messing with. You see, he has a plan for all of us. Accept his plan. And yes, life isn't easy. We struggle. Seems like sometimes we struggle a lot. But know this. No matter what my struggle is, and we all have struggles, no matter what it is, God has not left me and you alone. He is always near. You know why? Because he loves us. He loves us. So surrender to him. Child of God, if you're saved, praise him, serve him. Live for him all the days of your life. Depend upon his strength and his power. Depend upon him. But if you're here and you're not saved, you've not surrendered to his plan, and that plan is to be saved, you've not surrendered to his will, then come and receive him for salvation. Repent, by faith receive him. Receive what he did on the cross for you. He'll save you. And then do what he said. Listen, always consequences for our actions. We choose to disobey, there will be consequences. You say, well, what's the consequences if I don't accept him as my Savior? Hell? Hell? See, I don't believe there's a hell. I don't care whether you believe it or not. There's a hell. You're going to hell if you don't receive Jesus and you draw your last breath without asking him to save you. The Bible's pretty plain. Jesus spoke more about hell in this book than he did heaven. And pretty much said that there was a rich man, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. Let me ask you a question. Has Jesus ever lied? He's not going to. He can't lie. He said there's a hell. That's where you'll spend eternity, sinner friend. But the thing that gets me every time is you don't have to even worry about that place if you'll just come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Why wouldn't you? You know, I talk about fire insurance. I've got mine. How about you? And my premium didn't cost me nothing. It cost Jesus everything. But he paid the premium. I got fire insurance. I'm not going to burn. Not because I don't deserve to or I'm special, but because of what he did for me. And he wants to do the same thing for you. Why wouldn't you? So, are you going to be obedient and do what God leads you to do? Whether it's for salvation, baptism, church membership, rededication, whatever. Don't flee from God. It don't pay to flee from Him. Run to Him. Whatever He's speaking to your heart to do, do it. So you sound like someone that kind of knows what you're talking about. Oh, I do, because I've been there. I pulled a Jonah. I didn't get swallowed by a big fish. But oh, did he whip my tail. I think sometimes I'd have been better off to have been swallowed by a big fish. Because he gave me a whipping. He gave me a whipping like you wouldn't believe. And yes, sister, I know what you're thinking. That must have been a big fish. It was. It would have been a real big fish to swallow me. But my point is this. He just wants us to be obedient. Understand who He is. He's God. You and I have to do what He says. Recognize that. And let me say this, and I promise, I'm done. I'm through. It's 12:50. Oh, we got to get done. Real quick. I want you to understand. The whole purpose of the book of Jonah is to show how much God loves us. He loves you and me, and it doesn't matter how bad we've messed up in life. And some of us have messed up. And we struggle with things, sin in our life, every day. We struggle with those things. He says, listen, those things, that baggage you're carrying, and you're trying your best to carry with you and labor every day. Isn't it time that you should just give me that baggage? That burden you're carrying, just give it to me. What a glorious invitation. So if you're struggling, God can handle your struggle. Just give it.